Body Johnny Holiday reporting on sports. Former U.S. Olympic diver Bruce Kimball has had his motion to reduce his 17-year prison sentence denied today in Tampa, Florida. Kimball was attempting to get transferred to a minimum security facility and also into a drug and alcohol rehab program. Last summer, Kimball was charged with killing two teenagers while intoxicated, a problem Bruce Kimball admits he's trying to overcome.
I feel as though I now can realize fully that I do have a drug and alcohol problem. And most regrettably, I was very slow in coming to accept that fact. And tragically, it's led to the deaths of two kids.
Heisman Trophy winner Barry Sanders of Oklahoma State will make it official Saturday. He will skip his senior year with the Cowboys to enter the NFL draft. Now, current NFL rules make Sanders ineligible for the draft because he's an underclassman. He's sitting out the Cowboys' spring practice drills after setting an NCAA record last fall with 2,628 yards rushing and 39 touchdowns. Oklahoma State's AD, Myron Roderick.
We want to, you know, wish Barry the best of luck because he's a great person and a great athlete, and we feel very fortunate to have him here at Oklahoma State and be a part of our program for the last 3 years.
In Seattle, that city is ready for this weekend's Final Four. The semis Saturday kick it off with Seton Hall facing Duke, followed by Illinois and Michigan. The Blue Devils are favored to advance to the title game Monday night by getting past the Pirates, but Seton Hall coach P.J. Carlissimo is not that worried about being cast as the underdog.
It doesn't really matter to our players. If anything, it's a role we've grown accustomed to, and the kids believe in themselves. That's all that matters. Duke's a great team, and we know that Illinois and Michigan are a great team, so we're just happy to be here and hope we can get to play two basketball games.
And what a job Steve Fisher has done taking over for Bill Frieder, who jumped the ship and took the Arizona State job. It's been so hectic, though, in Michigan that Fisher really hasn't had the time to think much about what's taken place.
The hours turned into days, and now it's turned into 2 or 3 weeks, and I think maybe another couple of weeks I'll have time to reflect back on everything that's happened, but it's been hectic.
And the Philadelphia Eagles today have confirmed they have signed Chicago Bears free agent defensive end Al Harris. Maryland's head basketball coach Bob Wade is denying published reports that he had met with his team earlier this week asking them to publicly support him, and according to that report, Lou Perkins wants him out. For the ABC Information Network, I'm Johnny Holiday.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. I've got a lot of nice information for you early this afternoon, and in just a little while, we're going to be talking to Cliff Hayden about his adventures coming to Alaska. But right now, let me give you a few messages that might just be very important to you. One of the messages that I'd like to give is regarding the Monte Carlo Ball that's going to be held at Alaskaland Civic Center Saturday evening. It reflects the late 1800s to the 1920s golden days, and we're going to have a costume contest and dancing with the sandcastles live. Tickets will be available at the door from any Alaska Woman in Mining member. And as you may know, the 11th annual Placer Mining Conference is going on at Alaskaland Civic Center right at this time. And if you'd like to have more information on that, that's 451-6650. And I'd also like to remind you that they have at this time going on the conference presentations during the technical session. But in addition to that, they are also having a tremendous trade show over there. So for anybody that has any interest in placer mining and mining equipment, you can drop over there. There's no charge. Go right on in, take a look at the trade show and what's going on there. And I'd like to also add that if you're interested in prospecting and mining classes or rock and mineral identification, you can sign up at the Mining Extension booth there at Alaskaland Civic Center. We're going to be having a rock and mineral identification class beginning April 3rd, and it will last from April 3rd to April 21st. And also we'll have a basic prospecting class beginning April 3rd. Later on in April, on the 26th, we'll have an introduction to geochemical prospecting, followed on May 1st by an advanced geochemical prospecting class. And finally, on May 12th through the 14th, we're going to have an introductory to gold prospecting class. Everybody loves this one. If you're interested in these kinds of classes, you can drop on over at the Alaska Land Civic Center today. Stop in at the Mining Extension booth there and register for the classes. We'd love to have you. And if you don't have time to drop over there today and you want to give us a call, our number is 474-7702 at the University of Alaska, or you can give me, Jim Madonna, a call at 456-2569. So once again, I'd like to let you know that we're going to have this rock and mineral identification class starting next Monday at the University of Alaska Mining Extension. So if you would like to register, once again, give us a call at 474-7702 or 456-2569. And other messages that might be of interest to you, in addition to the Placer Mining Conference, which is currently underway over there at Alaska Land Civic Center, they will be having a explosives workshop on Saturday morning, and followed by an agency session on Saturday afternoon, which will discuss the permits and other requirements of the placer mining industry. On Sunday, there's going to be a fine field trip, which will take people out to Alaska's largest placer mining operation. That's Valdez Creek, about 200 miles east of Fairbanks here. So those are some of the things that you might want to know about. And another thing that you might like to know about is, what are we going to do to give away something today? We're going to do what we do, and today I think what we'll do is we'll give a free ticket. We'll give the ticket to the Monte Carlo ball is $15. We'll give one of those tickets away to the third person that will call me up and tell me who is located at 456-6156. I not only want to know who they are, I want to know where they are, and I want to know what they do. All right? Who they are, where they're located, and what they do. Hello?
Hello. I'm the first person, right?
You're the first person.
Okay,
who is it?
Is it the SAM people?
No.
Okay.
No, sorry. Hello?
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 Is it Tip Top Chevrolet?
The number is 456-6156. Give them a jingle and check that number out and see who's there.
Okay.
We're still working on customer number one here. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Well, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto.
You got that right. I'll tell you what you just did.
They do great tune-ups and emission controls.
That's right.
I've had friends that have been up here from outside and taking care of them vehicles for them.
Okay, I'll tell you what. You're my number one.
Well, I was number three.
Yeah, I'll give you number three. I'll give you number three, okay? You get the ticket. What's your first name?
Ken.
Ken. I'll tell you what you do. You stop up at the Mining Extension booth there at the trade show.
Okay.
Either today or tomorrow, and you pick up that ticket, okay?
All right.
To the Monte Carlo Ball. And I'll tell you what, when you go to the Monte Carlo Ball, you look me up, all right?
Will do.
Because I want to shake your hand for being the third caller.
All right. Thank you.
I'll tell you what else I'm going to do. I'm going to give away another ticket to the other caller.
Okay,
Ken. Thanks
for
the call. Hi, you still there?
Yeah, sure am.
I'm going to give away another ticket.
Okay.
How's that?
That sounds good. That's Gabe's Auto, right?
Gabe's Auto. Tell me all about Gabe's Auto. Everything you ever knew about Gabe's Auto.
Okay, well, I know they got very competitive prices. They got excellent sales crew there, and they do great work.
They do great work. Do you know anything about their IM inspection?
Yeah, I think you don't pay not unless you pass.
That's right. You got that right. And how about their towing? They got three wreckers over there, right?
I didn't know about that, but now I do.
Yeah, well, did you know that? You should also know that they're available 24 hours a day.
All righty. Well, I'm going to definitely put that number in my wallet.
And
I'm going to put it right next to that ticket.
Hey, put it next to that ticket. And when you come over there,
Shake
my hand over there at the Monte Carlo Ball. I want to see who's winning these prizes.
Okay,
there.
What night is that?
That's Saturday night.
Okay,
and they're going to have a lot of fun. They're going to have... Oh, you know, they're going to have contests. They're going to have a, well, it says here, they're going to have a full saloon and a casino. A casino, that sounds like gambling to me. Is that right?
Yeah.
And at least it was last year. And I guess they're going to have a whale of a good time over there. So stop on over. And if you'll stop up at the Mining Extension booth between 2 o'clock today and tomorrow at 5, I'll see that you get your ticket. What's your first name?
Lonnie.
Monty?
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, but now, where's that place at, the Mining Extension?
The booth at the Placer Mining Conference.
Okay.
At
where?
The Alaska Land Civic Center.
Okay, sounds great.
Okay, Monty, thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
Real good. Well, we took care of giving everything away that we could give away today, so I tell you what, let's just listen to this for a minute.
Here's another good reason to shop at Fred Meyer today. What have you got? What have you got?
Fred Meyer has everyday low prices on the things you use and need this spring, plus the time and money-saving convenience of one-stop shopping. So make Freddy's your springtime one-stop shop.
Smart shoppers know we're the value store.
You'll find extra value at Fred Meyer every day. Terrific sales just when you need them. Unadvertised specials, the best prices on your favorite brand names, and fast, friendly service that'll make your trip worthwhile. When you're looking for the best value for your money, remember, you'll find it at Freddy's.
One-stop shopping, that's our style. More choice and great buys down every aisle.
Our one-stop shopping, fast service, and great selection save you time. Our low prices save you money. Spring is here. You'll find it at Freddy's.
You know there's always another good reason to shop at Fred Meyer today.
I want to talk just a minute about my friend Robbie Ginther over at Tip Top Chevrolet. You know, over at Tip Top Chevrolet, they've got new car sales, used car sales, service, and a fine body shop. Tip Top Chevrolet Buick has been in business for 32 years. It has been owned and operated by three generations of Ginthers, and Robbie Ginther is now the general manager. Tip Top has a very high level of repeat business from satisfied customers. They have built a large and loyal customer base over the years. One of the contributing factors to their success is the low employee turnover in all of their departments. And I'd like to comment on just who's running each department. The sales manager, Jim Brown. Get hold of Jim if you're looking for new cars, a new car or a new pickup at Tip Top Chevrolet. And by the way, Tip Top Chevrolet is located at 1916 South Cushman. Keep that address in mind, or you can give them a call at 452-8211. And the used car manager is Elmer Osboom. And so if you're looking for a used car, a good used car, talk to Elmer. He'll fix you up with the right car for your needs. The service manager, Randy Meadows. If you need repairs, get a hold of Randy and let him know your problems. And finally, we want to talk a little bit about the man in charge of the body shop, and that's Randy Mayhew. And Randy's been with Tip Top Chevrolet Buick for 6 years. So if you are interested in a new car, used car, service, or body repairs, it's Tip Top Chevrolet, and of course they're located at 1916 South Cushman, and their phone number is 452-8211, and you tell them over there that you heard about their service from Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails, right here on KFAR Radio, 660 on your radio dial. And right now we're going to our guest, Cliff Hayden. Welcome to Alaska Gold Trails, Cliff.
Hello, good afternoon there.
I want to tell the folks before we get launched off into this thing, Cliff, that we're going to be here at 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. If they got a question for you or care to make a comment here on Alaska Gold Trails, they can just ring us up and we'll be glad to hear from them. Cliff, you know, we've been trying for two shows now to get you all the way from Spokane, Washington, if I'm not mistaken, when you were a young lad, to Fairbanks, Alaska.
Yes, that's true.
And are we going to make it? Well, we might not make it today, but we'll make it before many more years pass, won't we? Cliff?
Well, I hope we make it today because your customers are going to, listeners are going to get off the air if they get tired of my voice here.
They told me, a lot of them told me they never get tired of you, Cliff. They love to hear your stories. Cliff, where we left off is that, if I recall correctly, first you came to Petersburg. Then you went back outside.
Yeah.
Then you made it. Then we were going to bring you from Petersburg to Fairbanks, but somehow we backslid to Ketchikan, and we left off. And Cliff Hayden was then talking to some people about a boat ride at Ketchikan. And so tell us about where you were regarding that boat ride, Cliff.
Well, there's a number of us fellas in Ketchikan there in the hotel restaurant. And in fact, there's a number of young fellas that I had worked with and known there, and they were trying to get me to stick around Southeastern. I said, no way, man, I'm going to Fairbanks. You know, I've had a wonderful time down here, and it is a quite an experience riding on the Infidelity from Seattle to Ketchikan, but I have a ticket lined out from Juneau to Seward, but I've got to get over to Juneau, and right at the next table from us dining was a halibut fisherman and his crew, and they got to talking with us, and they said, say, I heard these fellows say that you knew a little bit about cooking, and we have one of these men that he's a fair cook, but he doesn't want to cook. He wants to be a plain halibut fisherman. I says, well, that's enough of that now. I'm not interested in any more cooking, and I know halibut fishing is a good occupation, but I wish to be a miner. Well, this owner of the halibut boat said, we'll take you on up and drop you off in Juneau, and later when the tide was right, why, we threw my equipment onto the halibut boat, and we headed out, and this fella kidded me, and he said, now, are you sure you don't want to stop off and say hello to the fellas at Petersburg? I said, man, that's the last thing I want to do. He said, are you wanted there? No, I said, not that. Not that I know about, but, don't you like the people? I said, that's the problem right there. I like them too well. I stopped off once for a week, and I made it my headquarters for 3 years, but I want to go to Fairbanks. Well, he said, we'll get you to on up to Juneau, and I got into Juneau and went to a hotel there in Juneau, and I discovered that the boat that I intended to cross the Gulf on, I think it is the Yukon, and we ended up, this fellas, getting on to the Alaska, which kind of dipsy-doodled across the Gulf. But while we were sitting around about a couple of days or so waiting for the Alaska to come along, well, we got acquainted. There must have been at least 20 fellas there going to Fairbanks. And there's nice young fellas, and most of them were, had some college education, and they were like me, more of an adventurer, and wanted to see Fairbanks, and planned on, if we can get some work in 38, that's fine, and then stay the winter, and then work in the 39, and head back south again. And anyway, finally we got on the Alaska and headed out across the Gulf, and so we started discussing it. Well, hey, how about just for, make it a kind of a family, say 8 or 10 of us guys get together, and it'll be on a kind of an economy deal, too, because if we get a room like in housing in Fairbanks, or, well, we'll all know each other and kind of help each other along. And I said, well, that sounds like a good deal to me. And we bounced on across the Gulf, and about the day before we got in to Valdez area, why, here come a young man. Oh, that fella had a personality plus. And he had an eye for business, too. And so he introduced himself, and he said, now, my brother has a, among other things, a transportation outfit, the General Transportation in Fairbanks, the largest in Fairbanks. And I've been down Seattle area or stateside going to school, and so he's having me bring a brand new state bed truck, fair size, up to Fairbanks. And the thought come to my mind, well, why not get some fellas going in for the first time and make a real advantage venture and take them across the trail, the first people over the trail in the spring. And we listened to him. What, you couldn't help but like the character. And
what was his name, Cliff?
Bill. Yes. And he said, now listen, like everybody else, you have going into the interior for a year or two, you have your things, quite a bit of supplies, clothes, and other things that are taken along. And he said, I decided that for $20 a piece, I'd take you from Valdez to Fairbanks and take all your equipment, don't care how much equipment you have, and and we'll make plenty of stops. And he says, I can contact the roadhouses a little bit ahead and line up the meals. And he said, they just put the food out, and I don't care whether it's breakfast, dinner, or supper. Why, it's family style, and it's excellent food. So we said, okay, man. And we plan on leaving the next morning and out of Valdez. And we rounded up a room the minute we got into Valdez for each of us, so we could stay overnight there and get up and take off the following morning. And we lined out the room, came back down on the streets. Holy smokes, here came friend Bill on the galloper, yelling and waving his arms. And where's the boat? Where's the boat? He kept yelling. Well, there's the boat out in the middle of the bay. Why? I just got word from the road commission that the part way from here to Fairbanks, there's a giant washout, and it'll take them at least a week to fix it. Well, we were a little perturbed with him right then, and the fellas all had a pretty good sense of humor. Oh, well, we can find something around here to do for a week. Now, you're sure that they can get this straightened out in the week? Oh, yeah, sure, he said. So then some of the fellas said, well, we agreed that we were going to try to, even though we have a few dollars, to kind of stretch them, so let's look around and see if we can find some kind of an old cabin or house where that we can stay there and cook up and go out and around and look the country over here. So by golly, here comes the city marshal of Valdez down the street, and one of the fellas stopped him and told him what we had in mind, and he said, you're in luck, fellas. There's a woman that is a cook for some mining outfit, and she has a nice little two-room house and one big bed and a couple of couches and cooking utensils, and so each year for a number of years she's had me rent it out a week a time or whatever that we could rent it out, he said, and so I know it'd be just right for you fellas. And he took us and showed us the house, and it was a very nice little house.
What
and
did
clean
she do? What did she do, Cliff?
Pardon?
What did she do?
The woman?
Yeah.
She was a cook out in some mine out from Valdez someplace.
Oh, I see.
In
mm-hmm.
the summertime. So it was immaculate, and then it had everything we needed for cooking equipment and reading material on Alaska, and I don't care what. She had a great big bookshelf deal there, and it was loaded down, and so we proceeded to have fun, and if the weather was a little bad, we stayed in and we read, and everybody pitched in with the cooking, and then we figured the meals out, and somebody would go over town and get what we needed for groceries, and we ate a lot of stew and hot cakes and, you know, and bacon, and and some sandwiches, too. And anyway, Our friend Bill, he came by to visit us every day, every morning, dropped in, and so did the town marshal. That is his duty, was to make certain that nobody got out of hand as far as around the house, and we kept it clean as she had it and chopped extra wood and sawed and stuff, and then we'd hike, and we were blessed with a great deal of good weather at Valdez then.
Cliff, just a minute. What was Valdez like in those days? What kind of community was it?
Well, it was a place, the fishing village, and there's some miners, and there's some hard rock out of there, I was told. I didn't go out to the hard rock mines. I was out of ways. But then, of course, that was the end of the trail where an awful lot of trading was done to the interior of Alaska. That many people had trucks running, hauling material to the interior. Well, anyway, this went on for about a week. And our friend Bill, he came in one evening, and so we want to know what was taking place because, well, we'd been in Valdez, and if nothing else, we wanted to move on out away from Valdez for maybe 100 miles or so and get an old cabin, and shucks, he could sit around there and enjoy himself too. Well, he said, I'll go call Max. So he called up his brother Max, and they had an idea. Well, now the fellows have been patient, and you want to get in too, but we can't get that truck in for a while. So how about you bringing them up to the washout, and I'll drive down with an old stake bed, pick them up. They can walk around the washout, and there's a already have a little cap there, and that going stone boat to haul stuff around, and we can haul their stuff around with the little cat. And so this sounded good. And the next morning we got up and told everybody that around that we met there goodbye and headed out. But Bill said, now listen, don't eat breakfast before we leave. We'll leave pretty early and then we'll get out. We drove quite a little while before we stopped for breakfast, but it was a nice place. But I'm skipping on. As we went, we must have gone up over Thompson Pass before that. That isn't it. But when we went up there, the snow had been deep. It must have been, I'd say, 10, 12 feet deep up there, and they must have had a rotary or something to blow the snow out of that pass, and it was quite a thing for everybody, even though they'd been around mountains and a lot of snow, and it was a beautiful day. And so Bill put the truck right over against the snowbank, and by getting up and walking up on, the stake sides, or they could crawl up on the top of the snow there and take pictures around over the country. It is really a beautiful viewpoint. And so some of the fellows did that, but there was a kind of a heavy-set young man there that he kept looking at me, and I thought, man, that man looks familiar, but gosh, you know how it is. You see a lot of people in your travels. But finally this fellow came over to me, and he said, say, aren't you Buster?
Hey, Cliff, I want to take a little break for a minute, and then I want to come back and talk about this stocky little stranger that knew your name.
Okay.
Folks, I was just over to the Placer Mining Conference, where they have the big Placer Mining Trade Show, and I was walking around there, taking a tour around the different displays that were over there, and I ran into Hector Terrio, and we hope sometime in the future to have Hector on the show with us. Hector, of course, is associated with Hector's Welding, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. And he's got a display over there at the Placer Mining Conference. And if you want to go take a look at what Hector's has and what Hector's does, you can stop over there at the trade show at Alaska Land Civic Center, talk to Hector, and his wife, Jeanette, see what's going on over there. And in case you don't have time to pop in, I'll give you a little list of services that Hector's provides. In addition to replacing dozer blade liners and rebuilding loader buckets and ripper shanks, they do heavy equipment repairs and modifications. But I want you to know that mining equipment fabrication is Hector's specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, and screening plants. And, of course, we know that they fabricate specialized riffles and punch plates. So, if you're interested in entering the mining game, talk to just about any of the placer miners in the interior of Alaska, and they'll tell you when it comes to sluice boxes and fine gold recovery systems, Hector's Welding is the place to go. And they're located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Their telephone number is 488-6432. That's 488-6432. And if you stop out there, tell them you heard about it on Alaska Gold Trails. Another one of my sponsors that I happened to run into out there at Alaska Land at the trade show was D. Church. And, of course, D. Church represents the precious metals people. That's Oxford Assaying and Refining. And you know that's where the miners sell their gold. Everybody knows that. They're located at 208 Wendell Street. And I'd like to point out that Oxford Assaying and Refining has some very fascinating precious metal gift ideas over there. And just to name off a few, if I can think them over, they have silver coins, silver ingots, silver bars. They have gold coins from around the world, different styles from different countries. Of course, they also have the gold and silver eagle from the United States. In addition to that, they have coins that are range from 1/10 of an ounce all the way up to 1 ounce coins, and they make very special gifts of lasting value that will long be remembered. And we'd also like to point out that Oxford Assaying and Refining at 208 Wendell Street also has a special precious metals quote line. Their number there is 452-7858. That's 452-7858. And you can call that number and get the price of gold, silver, and platinum each day, Monday through Friday. And if you want other kinds of information, give them a call. Their number is 456-3967. Once again, they're located at 208 Wendell Street. If you want to stop in and view some of the precious metals they have on display there. And today and tomorrow, till Saturday morning, they'll be out there at Alaska Land Civic Center at the Placer Mining Trade Show. So pop on out there. Say hello to the folks out there. Tell them you heard about the trade show and the Placer Mining Conference on Alaska Gold Trails with Jim Madonna. Now, we're back with Cliff, and Cliff has just met this stranger and as he was traveling from Valdez towards Fairbanks. And to give us a little bit more information about this stocky stranger, Cliff.
Okay, well, when he mentioned my name as Buster, I knew that he had to know my personal family real well or had contact down where my mother's family had a farm out of Spokane, Washington, about 30 miles. And I said, yes, you look very, very familiar. Well, he said, I'm George Smith. He said, I, for a couple of different years, went down in the summertime and worked on the farm for your Uncle Jimmy McRae. And he said, one day just in spring of 36, you had a buddy of yours bring you down from Spokane. You're getting ready to take off from Alaska and wanted to visit with your Uncle Jamie. And anyway, it was raining, and your Uncle Jimmy, he always looked for any excuse to go fishing. And it was raining, so we won't work in the field with the teams. And he said, just as you pulled in, why, they're getting their fishing tackle out, and they have nice fishing tackle, and I don't have any fishing tackle. And they said they'd cut me some willows that I'd probably catch more fish than they did with the willows. And he said, I just kind of don't feel right, you know, with a willow. And I reached over and I patted him on the shoulder. And I said, don't be concerned about that. And I went over to the fella's car that the man had brought me down from Spokane to the farm, and opened up the rig and pulled out a big box of fishing tackle and a nice pole, maybe offhand in those days, $25 worth. And well, what are you going to do with this? He said, I don't have any money. I can't afford to pay much. And I said, it's yours. And my Uncle Jerry said, yeah, how come you have that fishing tackle? Well, a man brought me down, he says, or took me down, I should say. Said, well, we stopped in for a little bite of breakfast on the way down at outskirts of Spokane, and this restaurant had a bunch of big punch boards there. And you threw down 50 cents and poked out that much money and a couple of punches, and you won all this. They said, yeah, sure. So my Uncle Jimmy explained to George that it was the golden rule by my strict great aunt and my grandmother that you will have bad luck if you ever keep unearned wealth. Now, I said, it's fine for him to give it to you. So anyway, that's how George got his fishing tackle for that day. And so we get back up there on the pass, and George made me acquainted with his brother, who had been working in a hard rock mine out of Valdez, I believe. And then we went on to a roadhouse and had a nice breakfast and headed on. And it was a beautiful day. We seen her along the road, shucks. I think the first thing we saw, and which surprised me, was a coyote. And then we went a little further, and by golly, here we saw caribou and moose and bear. Not many, but a few. And even a wolverine. And as I say, that we went to stopped at this roadhouse, and we had a very, very nice breakfast. And then as we traveled on towards the road, where the road was washed out. Well, we got there, and here was the truck over on the other side. Max had his truck over there, his big old steak bed, and here was the little tractor with the stone boat. And the fellows were loading on their things, and I think I put everything, including the pack board, on it. And most of the fellows did, but George, he hung on to he had a bedroll and a suitcase, a little suitcase. And we were walking along the edge of where the road was washed out, and the next thing somebody yelled, a man just went into the water. And we looked, and here he'd slid off, and he was about up to his armpits in this water. Well, it had just washed out in there. There was no real current, but, oh, it is a cold, muddy mess. So there's all of somebody right quick thinking, and they got some poles, and they forked George out and his suitcase and his bedroll. And so the next thing we knew we had to do real quick was build a fire, and we called a halt to the operation as far as we were concerned, and got a fire to going, and some of us fellas dug out, went over to our equipment, and got nearly all of us had some old GI blankets, and we got them and took fellas and had them stand around the fire and holding up these blankets so George could get warm, and we shared our towels. And there's always somebody in a group like that that they at least have some extra large. But George wasn't that extra large, but he was a plump sort of a guy. And they helped him rub down, and of course he was a-shivering, and his teeth were chattering, but pretty soon he started to laugh. And He just couldn't quit laughing. It seemed funny to him that here he slid down and we forked him out and had all this stuff up around him and everything. And so one of the older fellows along with us said, well, that guy is a happy-go-lucky cuss. So from then on, as long as we knew George or any of us fellows was on that trip, it was Happy Smith. Okay. And so then we headed on. We didn't have quite as nice a truck to ride in, but it was adequate, and it'd run, and we bounced down a dirt road. They had a little gravel here and there, all right, and Max was real nice about stopping if there's something we wished to take a picture of, and he never, never missed any type of a roadhouse, even if they had nothing more but coffee there. Why, he was faithful to the people along the road.
Cliff, we'll be right back in a minute just after a couple of messages here.
Keepsakes and snapshots, old clocks and dogs, hanging up pictures, stacking up logs. Everyday people are making new friends, and it's starting to feel like home.
If you're looking for a place on the Kenai to call your own, look into one of our HUD homes or vacation cabins.
Our new home and dreams, it's what we've been waiting for.
Call your real estate agent today about affordable HUD homes.
Folks, I want to talk just for a minute about Days Inn Motel, located in Anchorage, Alaska. Whether you're traveling for business or pleasure at the Days Inn Anchorage, you can expect personal service, quality accommodations, and affordable rates. They're conveniently located downtown next to all the downtown businesses and facilities. And if you'd like to make reservations or gather information, call their toll-free number. It's 1-800-325-2525. They are located at 321 East 5th Avenue in Anchorage, Alaska. Once again, their toll-free number is 1-800-325-2525. Or their local number is 276-7226 in Anchorage. That's Days Inn Motel. You know, when I take a look at the back of the telephone directory here in Fairbanks, Alaska, I take a look at a beautiful ad that was placed there by B&L Pawn Shop. And B&L Pawn Shop, why, they loan, buy, sell, trade, and deal. And, you know, they take consignment goods, and if they don't sell them, you don't pay any commission. If you need a grub stake, they'll help you out in a time of need. They got some dynamite deals over there on all kinds of things, cameras and stereos, TVs, videos, jewelry, tools, guitars, guns and car stereos. So if you have a need for some special item, and I'll give you a little case history here. I one time a year ago, I was using an AE-1 Canon camera in my field work, and that camera finally fell apart on me. But I also had adapt to that particular camera a couple of $1,000s worth of lenses. So when I went down to the local store to buy a new camera, I found that the cameras had changed over the years, and they no longer made the outdated AE-1, but rather had gone to an automatic camera, and my lenses wouldn't fit the newer style. So I went down to B&L Pawn Shop, and for the price of repairing my old camera, they sold me two cameras that were almost in brand new condition. So those are the kinds of things that you can think about when you're in need of a certain item. Stop by at B&L Pawn. You just might make a tremendous savings and get the item that you need to proceed with your work. B&L Pawn is located at 605 Gaffney, corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Their phone number is 452-3063. Jot this one down too, 452-6491. That's 452-6491. That's B&L Pawn Shop at 605 Gaffney, corner of Cushman and Gaffney. And once again, folks, we're here with Cliff Hayden. If you've got a question for Cliff, give us a call. Our number here at KFAR is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And we're back with Cliff Hayden. Cliff, tell us some more about your adventures and your travels from Valdez to Fairbanks. Did anything exciting happen en route?
Well, after we got George Smith all dried out, and on our way again, there wasn't a great deal other than the beauty. It was a beautiful day, and so we finally ended up going to stop for some place to get a little sleep that night, and so we ended up at Rapids Roadhouse, and that was a sight in those days. Not only the roadhouse was something nice but different, but the Black Rapids Glacier, the people there were quite concerned that it would come down and cut off the river and flood the whole area out. And it, to me, yet is just absolutely unbelievable the way that glacier stood up there.
I think you got a call here, Cliff. Let's see what happens. Hello?
Hello.
No, I just called up to say that this is better than reading a book.
Thanks so much.
And I'm really enjoying this story, so just go ahead with it.
Well, you know, we needed you to call up here because Cliff was getting worried that the listening audience out there might be getting a little tired of him.
It's just wonderful.
It is wonderful, isn't
it?
You bet. Thanks so much for the call.
Uh-huh, bye.
Certainly appreciate it. Okay, Cliff?
Know that it, for people just to look at some of the pictures and read about it, it couldn't compare to the way that we were there right when it had gotten down to as close to the river as it ever did, and it just stood right up, and it was really a beautiful sight.
Let's try this again, Cliff. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I hate to interrupt. I'm really interested in this. I was just calling about the Black Rapids stuff. You know, even today, you know, I wish I could have seen that. But driving by today, you can see, you know, all the stuff that the glacier pushed over there, and it's a classic example. You know, something to see if you understand how those big piles of stuff got out there.
Well, you know, it's interesting. What Cliff is saying is that the glacier was much more prominent when he came in 1938.
And that was in the 30s. That's what I was going to ask. Tuned in, and I didn't realize what,
right.
what 50 year you're talking
50
about.
Years ago, so,
oh, okay.
And the glacier was much more prominent at that time, and Cliff might have a comment on that. You want to comment on that, Cliff? The change in the glacier between 1938 and today?
Well, it's very unbelievable, to be honest with you, that because that it was just the ice, you know, sticking up there and pushing stuff ahead of it, and then all at once started to recede.
Well, today you look out there and you see the moraines that have been left by the glacier.
Yes.
And so is there anything else you'd like to say to Cliff today?
No, I think it's very interesting. Just keep it up.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. Okay, Cliff, we were at Black Rapids, so let's talk a little bit more about
yes,
it.
Yes, so we decided to spend the night at Black Rapids, and which we did, but we got in there, and it was a time of year that the people coming and going, and, they just really didn't have room for us, but they made us welcome if we wished to roll our bedrolls out on the floor or in the dining room or any place around in there. As it got later, they really did everything to try to make us comfortable, and some of us had a real good supply of bedding along, and some of the fellas, George Smith, well, his brother Dave was there, and he had quite a supply, but he is sharing it with George, and we gave him a little extra blanket. And then there's a guy and his wife back in a storeroom, but they was having a hard time, so we shook everybody down for a couple of three blankets for them. But we spent the night there and got up and had a nice breakfast, and I think we got out of it.
Okay, let me get back with you, Cliff, in just a couple of seconds here.
Summer's on the way, and so is the 9th annual Honda Open House at Fairbanks Motors. Coming up this Friday and Saturday, we'll be showing you how to have great fun in the summer sun with a full line of 89 Honda motorcycles, ATVs, and scooters, plus great savings on a few remaining 88s. Ask about Honda's Buy Now, Ride Now, Pay Later finance plan. No payments for 3 months on select 88 and 89 Honda motorcycles. And sign up for great door prizes. Honda, come ride with us this Friday and Saturday at Fairbanks Motors, 3775 South Cushman.
Cliff, when you left Black Rapids, you say there was a lot of people there. Was there a lot of people going down to Valdez?
They were coming and going both ways.
Uh-huh. The road had just opened at that time, didn't
it? Well, they had the word that in a day or so, by the time they got down there, why, it would be opened up.
Was that what time of year was that, Cliff?
Oh, well, see, that got to be the latter part of May, because now when we were at Black Rapids, we came on in that day.
Did you?
And that was the first day of June in 38 that we pulled into Fairbanks.
You mean to say that the first day of June you pulled into Fairbanks, Alaska?
Yes.
1938.
That's right.
That's right. Well, Cliff, I wanted you to know that on this radio show, Alaska Gold Trails, we finally got you from Washington
to Fairbanks. Yes,
only took us three shows. Now what we have to do is we have to think about the future. We have to know what Fairbanks was like when you came in 1938 on June 1st, and we have to know what you've been doing for the past 50 years since you've been here, what kind of activities you were engaged in. And it looks to me like we got at least another three shows to go before we get you up to this date, don't you think?
I'm afraid you'll get me back to cooking again if you do that.
Cliff Hayden, thank you so much for joining me on Alaska Gold Trails here today.
You're certainly welcome.
We've come to the end of Alaska Gold Trails today. Next week's guest will be Harold Gillum right here on KFAR Radio, 660 on your radio dial in our town of Fairbanks, Alaska. Stay tuned for news.